Don't get up.
No applause. I'm all right. Before we go to the passage, I want you to turn with me to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. Oh, good. I can see. Verse 21. Then Israel, which is the changed name of Jacob, said to Joseph, "Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers." And I took, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. Now when Jesus came to this well, he stood on conquered ground. Because he stood on conquered ground, he will do what Jacob did. He will give. It's a conquered ground that gives. I want you to think of our Lord Jesus standing on conquered ground. Because we know that the Lord Jesus conquered death, conquered sin, conquered the evil one. He's waiting for your response. He's waiting for you. He had to go through Samaria. Verse 5 of John chapter 4. He came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Joseph, who had conquered the ground, and you don't really think of it in this light, that Jacob, with the bow and the sword, conquered that ground so that he might give it to his son, Joseph. So here comes our Lord Jesus. And now Jacob's well was there. And it's noontime. And it's hot. And Jesus, being wearied from his journey, we're so thankful here at this chapel to proclaim a God who so loved us that he sent his own son, the Lord Jesus, to become a man, so that he might free us from our sins and judgment and darkness and hopelessness. So here's our Lord Jesus, a man, weary from his journey. And he sits down. The lip of the well sits there. I'm suggesting to you today that if you're here and you know not sins forgiven and you know not the Lord Jesus, he's waiting for you to respond to him. He wants you to be his child. He cares for you. You've come to the right place because here we proclaim the good news of God's salvation by faith in the finished work of Christ at the cross. We see Jesus in a wonderful place, ready to respond to the need of this Samaritan woman. Most of the women in those days went out for water around 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Why is this woman coming at the hottest part of the day? because she was not respected, because she was a sinful woman. The man she's living with is not her husband. So she is at a disadvantage. Who cares about her? Maybe you've come today and you wondered about yourself. You don't feel right. You don't feel right with other people. You don't feel right with God. You're hurting and you're wondering. Now this is a Samaritan woman. Jesus is a Jew. Doesn't speak well for the situation as far as the woman's concerned. But here he is, a Jew, sitting in the well, and the woman comes to draw water. Now, as I've said, now this well, this parcel of land, was a gift. It's conquered land. The Lord Jesus wants to give. But he asks her for something. He asks her to give him something. Give me a drink. Now there's all kinds of things the Lord Jesus could have said to this woman. But he's thirsty. And it's hot. He puts her at ease. Sometimes when we deal with people, we want to bring them the gospel. We want to tell them that God loves them. Sometimes a good thing to do is let them do something for us. I want you to give me a drink. Now he knew she was a sinful woman. He knew she was a Samaritan. And that's the whole reason why he wants to break the barriers. You see, God so loves the world. He loves everyone. He loves you. He loves me. Maybe you don't feel loved. Maybe you feel alone. I don't know what your position is or what your status is or what your feelings are. But the Lord Jesus is sitting on a well, waiting to speak to this woman. And the first thing he says is, oh, you're a sinful woman. Well, get away from me. No. No, he's going to engage her. He's going to bring her to himself. Give me a drink. Simple request. Well, his disciples probably would have provided the water he needed. But Jesus is alone. He's all by himself. Beautiful picture for all of us to understand. The Lord God wants to engage in our lives through your personal encounter with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone. Just between you and the Lord Jesus. That's what he wants. We're not saved because we're born into a Christian family. Or go to a church that preaches the gospel. We have to. Every one of us has to have this personal encounter with the risen Christ today. Now, Jesus is asking for a drink of water, and John explains why. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now that's a wonderful thing, his disciples. How many disciples are here? Well, there may be 6 or 7 or 8. I don't think all the disciples are present, but quite a few. He's been calling his disciples. from various walks of life. But they decide, I don't know how much food they were going to bring back, but they all went into the city of Sychar to get him some food. Let me pause a moment. Some of you may be engaged in very wonderful works. You're doing things, but you're not really reaching people with the gospel. You're writing, you're reading, you're enjoying the fellowship of God's people. These disciples went in with only one thing in mind, not to reach that town, to tell them that the Messiah is over sitting on a well. No, they didn't go for that reason. They went, and it's a good reason to bring food for their master. Wonderful. But let's be careful. We have a neighborhood, a city, a country, a world that needs Christ as Savior. We cannot pretend in any sense that others are doing all the evangelism. We don't have to do anything. We might be doing wonderful, lots of good reading, Bible studies, we're fellowshipping, we're praying, but some of us are shy. We don't reach the person at the corner pharmacy or drugstore. We don't have too much to do with the neighborhoods. Think about it. Well, his disciples are gone. He's alone. So the woman, verse 9, the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? When I was at college, I got in with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and they had a training camp for leadership in Ontario, on some big lake. And one of the things we had to do is do house-to-house evangelism. They sent us out two by two into the neighborhoods to evangelize. And I was with another female student. The two of us came up to this door and rang the bell. A man comes to the door, and we said, sir, we'd like to come in and talk to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you give us that privilege to do that? Oh, he said, yeah, come on in. Yeah, that's one. We'd love to listen to you. He said, we're from the Anglican Church, and we believe in the Word of God. So we sat down and we talked. And they skirted the issues of personal salvation. They talked about wonderful things, everything's fine, wonderful. And so he said, well, so what do you, young man, and young lady, what do you think about us? You know, sometimes you say things and do things, and I was young, a young student. And I said, according to what you've just shared with me, you're a lost sinner. What? I'm a respected man. I give to the church. And many of the churches, they even had their pews with their names on them. I said, I'm only going according to what you said. So the woman's there, he engages, he wants her to converse with him. And she does, and she's confused. She realizes that the Jews had a superior attitude about them. And she realized that as Samaritans, they wanted to change where the law was given and where they should worship, and they were destroying the real revelation that God had given concerning how he should be worshipped. She realized that there was a difference of opinion. So verse 10. This is not obvious now. May not be obvious to some of you here today. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, remember he's standing on conquered ground, the ground that Jacob had given to Joseph. He had asked her for a drink of water. Give me a drink of water. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, as a rabbi, he would use often figurative language. He did it with his disciples, and they just couldn't seem to grasp what he was talking about. It comes up in this passage later on. They come back with the food. And he said, I have food to eat you don't know anything about. What? We went into town, especially to get you food, and you took food from somebody else? And it was a criticism. They were criticizing the Lord Jesus. The nerve that you would do that. Then he had to explain to him. You see, the Lord Jesus always used the figurative language because he had hopes that some of them would have the discernment to grasp his meaning without him having to explain himself. Many of us who are studying the scriptures, some of you who are studying the scriptures, you're reading the scriptures, and a lot of the time that you say, I'm not sure what this means. He wants to engage us in our lives. He won't always make everything easy for us to grasp, but we keep working at it. Mike was telling me how he learned to play the organ. It wasn't easy, but he stuck at it because he wanted to pursue that kind of life. Now he says to the woman, if you knew the gift of God, we're happy today to proclaim to you that salvation is absolutely free for you. Because our salvation was purchased by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to Calvary, when he died for our sins, when he took upon himself our sin and became sin for us. He makes it easy for you. Some balk at that. Some of us are so proud that we won't accept a gift. We want to earn it. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot work for salvation. And Jesus says to this Samaritan woman that she thought he shouldn't even be talking to her. No one in the village cared for her. She had to go get her water at the hottest part of the day. Why should he care? He said, if you knew what you're missing, you're going to live your life, you're going to walk according to your religious convictions, and never find me. If you knew, I look like a tired human being. I'm sitting on a well. You recognize me as a Jew. You have differences of opinion, but if you knew who I really am and what I can give you, if you knew, some of you, the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life, forgiveness of sins, access, uninhibited access to His presence. But you have to accept the gift. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus. In Quebec, when we were in the French work, we did a lot of children's work. There were about 80 children. We were having these stories and wonderful time of teaching. And I used, well, something that's almost too simple. And I said to the group, I have 25 cents here. I'm going to put it right here. Now, any one of you children who wants that 25 cents, just come up here and it's yours. Come on. Nobody moved. This couldn't be true. 25 cents was a lot of money in those days. We're going back to the Middle Ages, you know. I don't remember, I don't know if Fred said 7 years or 70, but I heard 70. He meant 70. 70 years ago, I tried to start a children's work. Anyway, I'm kind of old. So, put that 25 cents there. A little five-year-old girl came up, had a finger in her mouth, kind of shy, looked everywhere, and they all, oh, what are you going to do? She went over, and she put her fingers on the 25 cents, and she looked up at me. Yes, it's yours. Take it. Oh, that's not fair. You all had the chance to take it, but you didn't, because you didn't believe me. Now, that's a very simple illustration. God is offering everyone the gift of salvation. If you knew the gift of God, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We look at that. Some hear that and say, he doesn't mean it. It can't be true. It's too simple. We even reach out and, is it for me? Like the little five-year-old girl, not sure, not responding. He says to this woman, and she's an intelligent woman, if you knew the gift of God. And one of the things that we've been given as a command from the Lord Jesus is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of every nation and baptizing the disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because people don't know. They don't realize what God has to give them through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. Now, I like the way, you know, our Lord Jesus, in dealing with people, doesn't miss anything. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, let's go over what just happened, he said to her. If you knew me, the one who asked you for a drink, remember, I asked you. I opened the door. I want something from you. I look upon you with respect. You have meaning to me. She's only one soul. Only one person. We read in the epistles, God is not willing that any should perish. He wants to have this dialogue with you. You have meaning, you have worth. Oh, but I'm a sinner. I know of it. That's good. Please acknowledge that. Acknowledge before God that you are a sinner. Don't hide from that. Don't talk about, well, I made some mistakes. Or I didn't measure up to what I should be. Now let's say it as it is. We are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is a sinful woman, an outcast. If you knew the gift of God and the one who started a conversation with you, who asked you for a drink, if you really knew, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now he wants to carry on the conversation. Piece by piece, he's revealing to her need of a Savior and the Lord. Now you may have had, you've come here to this chapel today, and you may have had conversations, other encounters with those who know and love the Lord Jesus. But you haven't put everything together yet. You come here today and say, you know, this is a nice place. I like to listen. The Word of God is taught. I still don't quite understand what I must do to be saved. Now, if you knew that God has a gift, and that gift is in the person of his Son, then you would have asked him to give you living water. Now, that's a lot for her to take in. If we had been there and been in the place of that woman, it would probably have been difficult for us. You know, we all have our ideas, our prejudices, or the way we think, how we look at reality, and what's life all about, and is there a life after death, and what are we going to do, and what, we can't be bothered with that. I've got all my schoolwork to do, all my job to do, and we get busy, and we get, but there's still an emptiness. We don't know, and we're troubled. It's good to be troubled. It's good to be troubled by our sins. To know that there is an afterlife. And where will we spend that eternity? Sir, verse 11, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Because living water can have the idea of fresh water, drinkable water, bubbling water. The Lord Jesus knows that. And she said, well, that's what I'm here to get. I'm here to get water. And I've got a pot to go down and bring it up and take it home. But you don't have anything to draw with. Where do you get that living water? Now, I'm going to suggest that this is not just a totally blank expression. She is beginning to think now. There's something going on here I don't know too much about, but I've never heard it quite expressed that way. So she does realize that there's a spiritual dimension to his words. He's not just talking about everyday events, the physical, outward. He's starting to talk about inward thoughts, getting to her soul. We want to get that across to you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus breaks all barriers and comes to your heart. It changes you from within. There is a conversion that takes place. And when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life changes and you're born from above, or as the scriptures say, you're born again because you acted on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins at Calvary. She's not there yet. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? And drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Where we're standing, she didn't realize it was conquered ground. She knew that it was a gift. And she was over just the historical. That really, right around here, are the footprints of Jacob and his animals. They came to get water. I came to get water from the patriarch that probably she greatly respected. Well, are you greater? Are you? And so she's starting to put it together. We're talking about a spiritual life here. Are you greater than our father, Jacob? Clarification. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, I know there aren't any gestures in scripture, but I'm just going to add, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Let's get that straight. I'm not just talking about the fresh water that's down there and flowing. Whoever drinks of, we're all going to thirst again. I'm thirsty, he'd already told her. I need a drink. And then he makes a statement that I hope all of you will grasp and understand. A beautiful, wonderful, living statement. But whoever drinks of the water, I know there's no gestures, but that water, you'll get thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, I so like this statement. There's a vibrancy to the statement. It's going to be a fountain. You are going to be so changed that you're going to be filled with the wonder and awe of God and the life that's in God. You will no longer just be someone who thirsts every day just because it's daily, daily routine living. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain. Now, those of us who have trusted in Christ relate to this very seriously. Many of us have gone through storms and difficulties and lost of loved ones, but the fountain is there. The fountain is bubbling. The inner man is being renewed every day. And we rejoice in God. We rejoice in Christ because our souls are saved and we're going to be forever with the Lord. There's a joy. There's joy and peace in believing. Oh, we present to you a wonderful Savior. He took the pain. He took the suffering. He died in our place. Why? To give us a fountain of life that's unending, that is precious, that's creative, that's full of glory. And we have the right to have access into the most holy place. We're changed. We're happy. Life is worth living. Life is worth dying. Because the Lord God, through His Son, has entered into our being. And Jesus says this to this sinful Samaritan woman. Think of it. If you're a believer, think of what God wants to reveal to you. Whatever your educational background is, whatever your heritage, whatever the color of your skin, who cares? You, as a child of God, are a light of the world. There's a radiance, there's a beauty, there's a fullness that comes because you're a believer in the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross for your sins. If you only knew, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you water that becomes a fountain springing up into everlasting life. What dimensions! Here you've got a woman coming to the Lord Jesus, three-dimensional situation. And now we're going to enter into a life where there are no dimensions. Into a brilliance, into a glory that's forever and ever and ever. Would you consider trusting Jesus Christ today as your Savior? So that you could have that fountain of life. Let's pray. Father, you know everyone here today, and you're calling, softly and tenderly, you're calling, and you want them, though they may not realize it, you want each person to respond to you, telling of their sinfulness and how they want this gift of God, which is everlasting life, a fountain of life. If there's one here today that would like to make that commitment to you, may that person remain. May we be able to talk together about this salvation. We look to you for your blessing in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a closing hymn.